Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's conference to provide updates from the Generac's management team. All participants are in listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star, then one on your telephone keypad. Please keep in mind today's conference is being recorded, and I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Anthony Crisci. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everyone. Forward-looking statements included in this presentation are made pursuant to the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These statements relate to future events or to our future financial performance and involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause our actual results, levels of activity, performance, or achievements to be materially different from any future results, levels of activity, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by these forward-looking statements. In some cases, you can identify forward-looking statements by the use of words such as may, could, expect, intend, plan, seek, anticipate, believe, estimate, predict, potential, or continue, or the negative of these terms or other comparable terminology. You should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements because they involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that are, in some cases, beyond our control and that could materially affect actual results, levels of activity, performance, or achievements. A more detailed description of these and other risks and uncertainties may be found in our annual report on Form 10-K and other public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. If any of these results or uncertainties materialize, or if our underlying assumptions prove to be incorrect, actual results may vary significantly from what we projected. And any forward-looking statement you read in this presentation reflects our current views with respect to future events and is subject to these and other risks, uncertainties, and assumptions relating to our obligations, operations, results of operations, growth strategy, and liquidity. We assume no obligation to publicly update or revise these forward-looking statements for any reason, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Now I'd like to turn over the call to Joe Muscato, President and Chief Executive Officer of Generac Biotechnology Corporation.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of myself, Generac's executive management team, and the Generac Board of Directors, I would like to welcome our fellow stockholders and other interested parties this morning's conference call. As we continue to execute on our plan to transform Generac into an integrated life science holdings company that offers end-to-end solutions for physicians and patients, I feel that it is important to have these investor calls on a regular basis to communicate our operational progress, our strategic plans, and our M&A activities in order to provide transparency to the market. To that end, we are happy to provide this report this progress report, starting with our ongoing operations. New Generac Distribution Solutions, NDS. Since acquiring the Veneto assets in November, Terry Thompson, Generac's Chief Operating Officer and President of NDS, together with Anthony Crisci, Esquire, CPA, and our General Counsel and Chief Legal Compliance Officer, have been working diligently to integrate, reorganize, and streamline the MSO and pharmacy business that we acquired. We are happy to report that we have expanded our MSO services from 3 states to 5 states, and we project continued growth through 2019 as we build out a sales and marketing effort and introduce new products and services to support our MSO with end-to-end solutions for patient care. I will now turn over the call to Terry Thompson, who can give you his update. Terry, please.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Joe. We continue to rationalize the Veneto acquisition. We're focused on restructuring our sales strategy by streamlining its administrative processes, speeding up our sales cycle, which is notoriously slow in healthcare, and by adding new products and services to the sales. We're working on expanding our state presences and are close to adding our 6th state with a combined MSO and DMAIQ sales contract. Meanwhile, we have also finished our beta site work on our first DMIQ contract, and revenues began to be realized the first week in February. The second product, developed to sell to our existing targeted investors and their staff, provides a second revenue source opportunity in addition to the MSO investment and ancillary services. This product allows for total front-to-finish management of the physician practice for its DME products with advanced analytical technologies developed to determine the opportunity to pursue a practice as a sales opportunity. It then provides inventory and procurement management and streamlines the patient's experience in the physician practice, ensuring all copays are collected, which is a big problem in healthcare, and that the billing takes place and ties into their EMR system utilizing a handheld pad. We've also signed a second contract for the MSO ancillary services investments, which could double our revenue from our Oklahoma base. We are just beginning to embark upon a renewed sales effort. We've also analyzed our delivery platforms and have adopted a pharmacy network management strategy going forward in lieu of bricks and mortar in order to maximize our profits, avoid the regulatory licensing and contracting bureaucracy, also allowing for most of our resources to be focused on sales, marketing, and new products and services. We're also in the middle of due diligence on four distribution platform companies in the patient acquisition arena as well, surgical and biological products, with the desire to close as soon as we complete our due diligence. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate the update. Okay, now I'd like to talk about Ola Region. As previously reported, Generex has acquired 51% of Ola Region, a regenerative medicine company that is launching our first product, Acelogen. Additionally, we have been able to obtain an additional 10% of the company from Ola Region investors who are exchanging their shares for Generex shares. Acelogen is FDA cleared in 17 wound care indications, including post-surgical wounds, diabetic wound foot ulcers, and venous stasis ulcers, post-MOS skin cancer surgery, and cosmetic dermatological applications. To date, Generex has funded Ola Region with $1.4 million to support manufacturing and pre-launch activities. I will turn the call over to Tony DeLisi, Generex Head of Commercialization and CEO of Ola Region, to comment.
Thank you, Tony. I'm not quite sure. Was the call muffled when Tony was giving the presentation? Did everybody hear him clearly?
It was bad.
Rich, why don't you restate what Tony had said? Maybe Tony's reception is bad, so this way they have the fully done and listen to this piece, please.
Yeah, I think it's also important for people who are not speaking to mute your phones. Okay, so Ola Region, as Tony was saying, has been extremely active in promoting Acelogen and growing our business through external relationships, complementary co-promote partners, key opinion leaders, and medical societies and associations. The completion of our comprehensive sales training modules and with the hiring of a number of experienced specialty sales reps, we are poised to enter the market with our 0.8 cc syringe, selling it to the VA inpatient and wound care clinics, the DOD, and in-hospital surgical settings. With the supporting data on Acelogen features and benefits, together with our value-based pricing, we anticipate early uptake in these markets. We're also generating new data on the use of Acelogen in wound care. Dr. Lois Chandler has prepared a subset analysis of the Acelogen Phase 2B study and developed a manuscript for publication in a peer-reviewed wound care journal. Co-authors include Drs. Robert Kirstner, William Marston, Oscar Alvarez, Peter Bloom, and Paul Kim. Ola Region will be participating in the Diabetic Limb Salvage Meeting in Washington, D.C., April 4th to 6th. That's sponsored by Georgetown University, where we plan to meet the community of podiatric surgeons in attendance. Dr. Chandler also submitted an abstract on the subset analysis, and she's planning to present the results during the scientific poster sessions. Ola Region will also attend the SAWC spring meeting planned for San Antonio, Texas, May 7th through 11th. SAWC is attended by 2,300 wound management professionals, including podiatric, vascular, and plastic surgeons, all of whom are customers for Acelogen. Ola Region is engaged in discussions with a specialty dermatologic company to co-promote Acelogen in the dermatologic market. This joint venture will focus on Acelogen in the treatment of post-Mohs surgical wounds, as well as for healing from aesthetic and cosmetic procedures like chemical peels and laser skin resurfacing. We feel this is a very big market opportunity for us. While the region is finalizing the company's supply chain and initiating contracts with McKesson and 3PL, the primary organization is responsible for product ordering, fulfillment, and storage. And lastly, if anyone is interested in learning more about our company and Accelligen while attending the aforementioned medical meetings, please stop our booth to learn more about our activities and plans in the regenerative medicine wound care business. So that's the update repeated from Tony. And Joe, I'll turn it back over to you to talk.
Thanks, Rich. And thanks, everybody, for being patient. It's very important that, you know, everybody really hear the update on Ola Region. Not too many companies get an opportunity to commercialize a product like Generex has now, and I wanted everybody to really hear that update. So thank you both, Tony and Rich, for just restating it. So I'd like to talk a little bit about Regentis now. At Regentis, we have concluded our audit and are finalizing financial disclosures. We have been working on product manufacturing criteria, documenting product development, specifications, and working with our partners to finalize a protocol and initiate our first in-human trials in Australia later this year. To date, Generex has funded Regentis with over $1 million to support their manufacturing clinical development efforts. And now I'd like to maybe get Rick Bowman, CEO of Regentis, to comment on his activities. So, Rick, please, if you would.
Good morning, Joe. You know, Regentis Corporation was formed in 2013 as a regenerative medicine company. Our goal is to develop a novel hydrogel for the treatment of ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, and other debilitating inflammatory bowel diseases. Our first-in-class product candidate is ECMH rectal solution. And in our preclinical studies, it's been shown to facilitate healing through rapid tissue regeneration and restoration of barrier function while reducing clinical symptoms like bleeding, cramping, and diarrhea. Our product works on the proposition that we're trying to heal tissue rather than just reduce inflammation. We have had a number of patents that we use to develop our product. A portion of those were in-licensed from the University of Pittsburgh, and a bunch were filed and are currently existing in markets throughout industrialized world. We recently received an approval for an application in Japan, which we're very happy about, and we have other patents pending throughout the world, the United States and China included. The focus on our company at this moment in time is development, and as part and parcel of that, we've kind of spent some time developing biomaterial and animal testing activities at the University of Pittsburgh, and we're working on manufacturing activities with our strategic partner, Cook Biotech, in West Lafayette, Indiana. As far as our development's concerned, you indicated that our financials were prepared and they are in the process of being finalized. Our partner, BDO Siemens, helping us with that effort. In terms of the clinical development, we have undertaken a fairly substantial effort to get our Australian clinical trials up and going. We have employed George Clinical as a medical research organization over there and Brandwood Medical as the regulatory folks. We have HPA of Boston helping with the U.S. activities with a goal of getting a fully integrated approach to the clinical trials so that we're able to get all the data we need out of the activities that we're undertaking that would satisfy the requirements for filings both in Australia, United States, and Europe. So that's the core of our activities in the last month, and we look forward to kind of continuing development and IP side for other activities that we might be able to undertake to expand the range of our product applications.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate the update, and keep executing. It's great stuff. So I'd like to now talk a little bit about our M&A activities. And those M&A activities relate to the three transactions that we've announced. And that's, I'd like to start off with Fuse Medical and moving, you know, on
Now, we are finalizing terms to acquire Fuse Medical, a successful and profitable manufacturer and distributor of surgical supplies and biologics for orthopedic surgery and regenerative medicine. As previously reported, the transaction is structured as an all-stock deal valued at $34 million of Generex common stock at $2.50 per share, with the potential for earnouts based on certain performance in 2019. Fuse is a publicly traded company with revenues approaching $30 million and EBITDA of approximately $6.5 million. See their SEC filings for details to date. The deal is non-dilutive to our shareholders as the payment is being made from the Generex pool shares, priced at $2.50 a share. We are extremely pleased to bring Fuse into the Generex family of subsidiary companies. Not only does Fuse bring a broad portfolio, especially surgical products and biologics, but we will also be able to utilize their sales and distribution channels to expedite the launch of Accelligen, as well as other products and services from our subsidiary companies in the fields of surgical care and regenerative medicine. I'd like to introduce everybody to Chris Rieg, CEO of Fuse. And Chris, if you would, love to get you to comment on where you're at and what you guys have been doing since the last call.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the time today. 2018 was a year of achievements and accomplishments for us, as we previously released. We finalized the acquisition of CPM Medical, which is our core company, and also a spine company, Maxim Surgical, was another acquisition completed in August. So this was kind of a transition year for us. Our accounting team has been diligent working through our 2018 audit process and are on target for filing our 10K annual report for 2018 before the end of March. Our attention has also been focused on completing the due diligence process with Generex. We look forward to 2019, and we anticipate another great year with continued growth and new product launches in spine as well as in orthopedics. We at Fuse are excited about the opportunities in the near term and future with Generex and the synergies offered by its robust pipeline of subsidiary offerings. Thank you, and back to you, Joe.
Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it. We are very excited about the opportunity with you. You know, not only will we be able to offer all your product offerings through our own MSO, but we're quite happy that you'll be able to help us in the process of commercializing all the region's products and its pathways. So very exciting times for Generex, and thank you very much for the update. So I'd like to talk a little bit about our other two planned acquisitions, which we've announced, which is Pantheon and Medisource. Those two acquisitions will complement Fuse, and as previously reported, we are in the final stages of due diligence to acquire Medisource and Medisource Partners, a specialty distribution company, and Pantheon Medical, a foot and ankle manufacturer of specialty orthopedic surgery products and tools. Under the terms of the deal, Generex will acquire all of the assets of Medisource and Pantheon for a total of $2.4 million worth of Generex stock from the pool shares, plus additional cash and stock consideration upon achieving certain sales and profit goals. With Pantheon and Medisource integrated with Fuse Medical, the Generex Distribution Solutions will provide access to a whole new line of products that enhance our current MSO network, currently operating in 5 states, and eventually expanding into 27 states. Additional details on the Medisource and Pantheon transactions will be disclosed in 8-Ks to be filed with the SEC. I would like to introduce Travis Bird. Travis is the owner of both Medisource and Pantheon. And Travis, if you would, I'd love to get an update from you as to where you are and what the future is looking like.
Well, thank you, everyone, for taking the call today, and we're really excited for 2019, along with our partnerships with Generex as well. And as Joe has stated, we're in the final stages of finalizing our transaction of the sale of Pantheon Medisource Partners. inside of Generex and New Generex as well, too. We're excited to announce that we have completed our FDA approval of our balanced plating system that is a new all-in-one plating system for foot and ankle cases in the United States and international as well, too, and soon to be launching another 3 additional FDA-approved foot and ankle systems in the coming year as well. It's an exciting time at Pantheon Medical in the foot and ankle industry as the growth for foot and ankle needs are more and more, and we expect very high numbers for 2019 as well, with the addition of 3 new approved, FDA approved, I should say, foot and ankle systems, along with a complement of another 4 about to be launched in 2020. With that, thank you very much for your time and look forward to any questions that you may have.
Thanks, Travis. Really appreciate it. And very exciting. We're very excited because the New Generex Distribution Solutions MSO does have an extreme amount of podiatrists that can utilize your systems. We hope to move all your products through that MSO of podiatrists we have. And as we expand state by state, add more and more podiatrists that can utilize these products. So the synergies here are just very great for what we're doing, and I appreciate the update. So let's talk a little bit about some of the proposed acquisitions that we are in pretty deep discussions and or have come to terms with. So I'd like to start off with a hospital network that we have, you know, an MOU in place with. We're finalizing terms, and we're conducting the due diligence to make sure that this is an acquisition that we want to make. But this new acquisition is a big piece of the puzzle for NDS. Is an acquisition of a multi-hospital network and a hospital billing and management company. We're in the final stages of discussion on the acquisition terms, which will enable Generex to acquire the hospitals and management company that generates over $100 million in revenues and significant EBITDA. Right now, we are in discussions for 60% of the business, which we're in the final throes of terms, which will be about $5 million in cash and about $5 million in Generex stock from the pool shares. The hospitals are designated by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid as critical access hospitals, which provide significant financial and operational benefits, including cost-based reimbursement from Medicare. As of January 1, 2004, CHH are available for allowable cost plus 1% reimbursement. In some states, CHHs may also receive cost-based reimbursement from Medicare and Medicaid. Flexible staffing and services to the extent permitted under the state licensure laws. Capital improvement costs, including inallowable costs for determining Medicare reimbursement, access to flexible program educational resources, technical assistance, and other grants. The CAH hospitals provide networks of physicians and healthcare programs, as well as patient populations with significant medical needs. Generex and our subsidiary companies plan to offer our wide range of drugs, surgical products and biologics, medical devices, and service offerings to not only grow the revenues of Generex, but also to improve the health and well-being of rural communities in the network. These hospitals are well positioned to take advantage of the impending allocation of VA services to the private sector, as well as telemedicine initiatives that are reimbursable in these communities. We will provide additional information as this acquisition advances through the due diligence process. So, you know, this is a very exciting potential acquisition, and we're hoping that within the coming weeks we'll be able to announce definitive terms as well as the acquisitional structure. So, it's an important piece for what we're doing. We believe not only will we be able to enhance the value of those hospitals as well as the management company through our expertise, but also offer a lot more services through our own product lines as well as our MSL network. So very exciting. It's one to watch out for, and we're hoping within the coming weeks, as I said, we'll be able to fully announce the transaction and get everybody excited about it. So thank you for that. I'd like to move on to what everybody, I'm sure, has been waiting for, our new Generex Immuno-Oncology. I want to congratulate all of our shareholders today. I'm happy to announce that the dividend in new Generex Immuno-Oncology was effective as of yesterday, with Generex shareholders receiving one share of new Generex Immuno-Oncology for every four shares of Generex held as of the record date. Moving forward, we have identified another immunotherapeutic company and have engaged the management board in discussion on a merger. Also, we plan to license AI technology and additional immune system activation platforms from a major research institute. Lastly, we are in discussions with several groups on potential co-development agreements, and we're really excited about how New Generex Immuno-Oncology is forming. So we will hopefully merge with another leading cancer company with deep synergies to our platforms, as well as license some new technologies that we're in deep discussions with now, as well as partner with another large biopharmaceutical company that has other great synergies with our technologies. So we're hoping that within the next 60 to 90 days, New Generex Immuno-Oncology will be public. I'd like to turn it over now to Dr. Eric von Hoff, which could give a complete update on where we are with our platforms, our Merck partnership, as well as our partnership in prostate cancer. So, Eric, please introduce yourself and please update our investors.
Sure. Thank you much, Joe. So, as we've reported previously, the FDA has reviewed our combination study IND as allowing us to move forward with the trial that we're conducting with the NSABP Foundation. Clinical supplies of both Merck's Keytruda and Antigen's AE37 are in the process of secondary packaging and labeling and expected to be available for site distribution by mid-March. We've received IRB approval for the study in February from a central IRB and have selected the following sites for study participation: the University of Pittsburgh, West Virginia University, Allegheny General Hospital, Cancer Care Specialists of Decatur, Illinois, and the Cleveland Clinic. All of these sites have been duly notified by the NSABP Foundation, which is now working with them in all aspects of study startup in an effort to get them activated as soon as possible. It is projected that the first site will be activated in early April, with the first patient enrolled shortly thereafter. Back to you, Joe.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you for the update. I'd just like to add that to date, we've made all of our payments to all of our partners for this trial, we don't expect any immediate payments due for a while, but we are fully paid up on all of our initiatives to date for all of our activities in our trial work. So pretty exciting times for New Generex Immuno-Oncology, and we really look forward to finalizing our go-public strategy as well as partnerships as well as merger. So we'll be updating everybody in the coming weeks as things materialize and develop into fruition. So thank you very much, Eric. So let's talk a little bit about New Generex Diagnostics, and I'd like to introduce Dr. Hal Haynes. He can give a complete update to where we are. He's doing some pretty exciting stuff in his division. So, Hal, please.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. We at New Generex Diagnostics have designed a new innovative rapid point-of-care platform for the detection of infectious diseases. We call this the NGDX Express 2, and we have as well submitted a patent application for that platform. This platform was explicitly designed to be used in professional medical settings and for individual home use without the need for trained personnel to perform. This is very important since many times individuals can accurately perform tests on themselves in privacy. This maintains anonymity, which may be desired in certain settings, especially for sexually transmitted diseases like syphilis and HIV. The platform is also the basis of our rapid point-of-care tests for other infectious diseases such as hepatitis B, hepatitis C, malaria, and several other conditions. We have also applied for and was granted the CE marking by the European Union Regulatory Authority for commercialization of this platform for the syphilis test, actually, in European Union, and we're now canvassing distribution partners in Europe. Our goal is to get into Europe commercially sometime this year. There's currently a worldwide epidemic of syphilis. The treatment and control of this disease depends upon accurate and easy-to-use diagnosis. This NGX Express 2 test for syphilis antibodies is a rapid point-of-care diagnostic device which allows the diagnosis of syphilis in 15 minutes or less and can be self-administered if necessary. The company is also preparing to submit a 510K application to the United States FDA for commercialization of the NGDX Express 2 test for syphilis antibody. And this is for the eventual commercialization of the product in the U.S., of course. And importantly, we have formulated plans, including development staging, milestones, and the selection of commercial partners for the design and development of a proprietary and innovative, qualitative, rapid point-of-care multiplex biomarker assay for the detection and clinical staging of sepsis. Sepsis is a very serious syndrome, and there is a diagnostic unmet need for a clearly accurate and useful rapid assay. We plan to fulfill this need eventually. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate the update, and sounds like you've been executing quite substantially. Thank you for that. So I'd like to talk about our nationwide pharmacy acquisition. We've been auditing that business since last December. So it's about a year and 3 months we've been auditing this business. We acquired two pharmacies from them back in late December. We were in this transaction knee-deep well before the Veneto acquisition was even contemplated. And I'm proud to announce that we finalized the audits that we've been working on well over a year. And after a year of due diligence and a significant amount of accounting work, we have finally completed everything necessary to make this acquisition. We have some regulatory checks as well as approvals that we'll need to complete this acquisition, which is expected to close in the second quarter of this year. This acquisition will roll out our MSO business and enable nationwide direct-to-patient offerings for medication services, disease management, and chronic care solutions to achieve improved outcomes and lower costs for patients. In the coming week to 10 days, we will announce the transaction in terms and provide specific details on the acquisition and integration of this vast network, which we plan to close shortly, pending approvals by the regulators. So completed everything necessary other than the regulatory approvals, which we'll go for in the coming days. And we hope to announce this transaction with full details, in the coming week to 10 days. So this will add another valuable piece to New Generex Distribution Solutions in its quest to provide direct-to-patient, doctor-to-patient, clinic-to-patient, hospital-to-patient, end-to-end solutions. So very exciting times for us And I look forward to unveiling more and more of this over the coming days and weeks. So let's move into now and talk a little bit about banking. So we're very proud to announce that Generex has engaged a top-tier bank, and we are working with them as well as several funds to bring in the necessary dollars on a milestone basis based upon when each of the acquisitions will be ready to complete. So we anticipate over the next 2 years we'll have enough capital to fully make all our obligatory payments to Ola Region, which is commercializing, as well as Regentis, which is in the clinic or going into the clinic to get that highly valuable FDA approval. So as well as to make the acquisitions that make sense for all of our platforms. So we're quite excited about that. And as we continue to build out our product and service offerings to provide end-to-end healthcare solutions for patients and physicians, we plan to expand our offerings into holistic medicine with the acquisition of two highly successful companies in the medical meal and nutritional sectors. Medical meals and nutrition supplements are essential elements of patient care, with clinical data clearly demonstrating improvement in health status and reduction in hospital admission rates for patients who receive home delivery of chronic care meals, including patients with cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and rheumatoid arthritis. Medicaid programs in several states cover home delivery of medically approved meals, and the acquisition target has an ongoing business that is projected to grow substantially. Starting in 2020, it is expected that medical meals will be covered under Medicare, as CMS has proposed Medicare Advantage and Part D payment and policy updates to maximize completion of coverage. The potential acquisitions for NuGenerix family of companies will add new products and service lines, as well as significant revenues and profits for NuGenerix Holding Company. I will provide updates on our progress with acquiring these nutrition-focused organizations. So what we are in the process of looking at are two companies, one that is a nutraceutical company that has been around for a very long time. Their product lines are exponentially great. We are in deep discussions with acquiring them, as well as a medical food company that delivers foods specific to patient treatment. So in under chronic care management, cancer, diabetes, patients need specific types of nutritional meals, and these companies will provide that platform, which is the next dynamic in end-to-end patient solutions, we feel, and we want to be part of that. And those acquisitions, if we're able to make them, will totally round out our patient-centric platforms. So it's exciting times for Generex. We look forward to the next weeks to months and hope to have all of these acquisitions completed by the end of this year. So I'd like to now just talk a little bit about, you know, the wrap-up here today, which is I want to thank you all for your time and attention today. In this exciting time for Generex, we are executing on our strategic goals to build Generex through M&A and operational excellence as an integrated life science holding company. With significant revenues and projected profits, we have made significant progress in our plan through the additions of great companies with surgical products, innovative regenerative medicine and technologies, and biologics, and two surgical and medical supply companies with proprietary distribution channels and synergies throughout the organization. The target acquisitions of the hospital and pharmacy networks that we expect to complete in the coming weeks will provide the backbone for achieving our corporate goals and business objectives. So as you can see, we've been rebuilding Generex into a revenue-generating and cutting-edge development company with a best-in-class executive team that has experience and expertise to lead the new Generex into the future. Management is excited about what the future holds, and though the inherent value of the acquisitions hasn't been reflected in our stock price, we are confident as we continue to execute on our strategy that the market and new shareholders will recognize our vision to build Generex into a new kind of healthcare company that is more responsive to the needs of different stakeholders in its healthcare value chain, with offerings in a variety of services, diagnostics, medical devices, and pharmaceutical development. Now we'll open up the lines for a few questions from our shareholders. So please, if you would, open up the lines. Thank you.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star, then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. And once again, for questions today, it is star, then one. And we'll take our first question of the day from Dustin Fredrickson. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Dustin. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well, Joseph. Thank you so much again for everybody on the team going over everything. Excited by, obviously, the future of where Generex and New Generex are going and everything associated with it. Been a longtime stockholder since 2012, looking to acquire more. Love you guys. I heard most of the stuff that you said. It's a lot of information. I'll definitely read the transcript that I could take my time and go over it. One of the questions I have, obviously, I'm sure a lot of people have, is the move that Alpha Capital did with you guys, and I don't know what you could talk about and not talk about with that, but maybe you can go into it a little bit just so everybody's clear on it, so it kind of eliminates the elephant from the room.
Sure, and thank you for the accolades. We've been working quite hard the last 2 years, and for sure our biggest focus is to provide value to our shareholders and to most importantly turn around all the long shareholders get back into having value in the company. So we focused on that. We think we've managed to do that quite well. And as it pertains to Alpha, well, I can give you the exact facts of as it pertains to Alpha. So Alpha demanded reprobations from a default in not uplisting. So I'll give it to you from the beginning. Alpha loaned us money. They did extensive due diligence to make that loan to us, and that was just prior to the dividend starting. During the dividend and close to the end of the dividend, we had gotten an inquiry from the regulators as to 213G filings. Those 13G filings, the regulators thought was from the loan that was securitized by my personal stock. No stock was given to Alpha. No new stock was given to Alpha. It was their legacy stock from negotiating them out 2 years ago, or 2 years plus ago, from all their warrants and encumbrances they had on the company. So they had didn't want to go over 9.9. There was a pool set up at our transfer agent, Broadridge, and they basically sold all of their stock during the dividend. When we hit $25 a share approximately, they started selling and filed those 213Gs. Now, because we had the inquiry from the regulators, we had to stop the dividend and answer the inquiry, which then we had to restate the dates for the dividend. So those 213G filings set up a cascade adverse events that prohibited us from ever making an uplist application because of the dividend. You know, traditionally that dividend should have took 15 days, 20 days to complete. Instead, it took us 90 days to complete. The default was 90 days that they started. So there were a chain of, they cascaded us into events that would not make it possible to uplist within the 90-day time frame under the default in that loan. So they caused the cascading events. We didn't. And that's my stand on that situation. So we want to pay them back. We were thankful for the loan, but they caused the cascade in events such as the Apex situation. Apex paid the dividend after it was reset the second time. They had the old dates in their system, and they paid the dividend 13 days before the dividend was actually to be paid. So no one, we didn't even deliver the stock yet to DTC, and all of Apex's accounts, which were thousands of them, were trading stock, phantom stock. There was no stock. So we had to reset it again because of that event. And then because of that occurring, then there was a big problem at the end of the dividend when it finally was paid with E-Trade, where E-Trade paid it twice because they automatically they had an auto set and then they manually did it. So they paid the dividend twice. So it was just a chain of events that cascaded from what their action was that precluded us from fulfilling that default section of uplisting to a national exchange like NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange. So that's basically where it's all at. So that's our response to their demand for our default.
Well, thank you for explaining that. It totally makes sense now. With I remember the dividend getting changed, and I'm sure a lot of shareholders do. And we were kind of like, what's going on there? But now that kind of bridges the gap on everything that was going on during that time period. So, number one, thank you for that. Obviously, you guys will be able to handle that behind the scenes and then let us know again after that's handled. But I'm very appreciative of what you guys are doing with the company. Again, I will say tried and true and being long on GMBT. I think my last question would be, obviously, excited by the dividend of New Generex, and I think I heard you guys said somewhere between 60 and 90 days, don't quote me, that you guys are trying to roll that out. Are the shareholders going to get first, GMBT shareholders going to be able to get first buying priorities with when it hits the market?
You mean in a rights offering?
I believe so.
Well, we're right now looking into potentially doing a rights offering to New Generex shareholders. We haven't defined that yet. That'll be something that we'll discuss with the bankers that we've just contracted with and now are our partners. We'll look for them to advise us on that. I'd love to do one if it makes sense. If we can get the, if there's enough excitement there for us to do a rights offering, I'm all about providing value to the shareholders. Shareholders should be always thought of first, as evident by this management team and how we've structured, the company and how we've been compensated, to date. So if I can do one, I'd love to do it. And that certainly is a goal if it makes sense.
Well, that's all the time I'm going to take up. Joseph, thank you so much, and the management team for, again, continuing to do the right things. We've been watching you, and, again, I commend you, and we will stick behind you and march forward. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the call, and thanks for the accolades. It really is appreciated.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question from John Nickel. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have just one question. Some of it I think has already been answered, but off the cuff here, West Lafayette, Indiana is a good place to do some research and whatnot. I grew up there a long, long, long time ago. A little history on me. I'm an 83-year-old, 100% service-connected disabled American veteran who is a pawn in this chess game. Part of this chess game was just explained, and I appreciate your candor on that. I have shown confidence in you and your team and your product for a number of years. I'm an old and beat-up man who would like to recognize some of the benefits of all of our success in your efforts to build this company. I would like to see a little bit of the benefit before I'm a pawn in the game, and before I get swept off the board, I would like to see some of the benefits. And what I'm hearing here is probably about 60 to 90 days before the spin out on the new Generex. But I really would like to see some benefits before I pass on and leave it all to my children. Now, my question is, you give me any kind of a wag on when this pothole washboard 99-mile dirt road is going to turn into a 8-lane super intercontinental rail highway and make things just a little bit easier on everybody.
Well, I hear your you know, your frustration in terms of being a long-term shareholder of Generex. You know, I can only imagine sticking with something as long as it sounds like you have. But, you know, I'd just like to point out, you know, Generex, when this management team took over Generex, we had a decision to make. And that decision was, you know, to, you know, was Generex something that we wanted to get involved with? Because it was a dormant company. It had no operations at the time, but it did have deep assets in both cancer and in its buckle delivery, as well as other great assets, which is, you know, a net operating loss that, you know, if we're able to utilize that with revenue, you know, it's an extreme asset. So, you know, we had to look at, were we able to clean up the company? Were we able to provide a platform after that cleanup for investment? Were we able to rekindle these assets that a lot of money went into to finally potentially get, you know, some light onto those assets? And we made a decision to do that. There's nobody left from the old management team other than Dr. Eric von Hoff and some of the IR team. But the management, you know, the past two management teams are all gone. Dr. von Hoff has done a great job, you know, rekindling the assets in Antigen Express, now New Generex Immuno-Oncology, and Generex and its shareholders owe him a debt of gratitude for that, as well as all the new people that are part of Generex. So, though, you know, we had the brunt of the past, you know, me and this new management team have, you know, the future. So moving forward, whatever transpires, it's on us. Unfortunately, we didn't have any decision power in what the past had brought. So we're only happy that we've been able to execute as effectively as we have over the last 2 years to get to this point where now we're turning the page into becoming a dynamic, large company. And,
well, I appreciate all of that, and I compliment you for the progress that you have made. Agent Orange got me in Vietnam, and I've died twice. I've had a stroke that partially blinded me. And when you get around to it, it would be nice, since you're planning on trying to work with the VA and whatnot, it would be nice if you could come up with something that will counteract the effects that Agent Orange had on me. I flew low level and sucked that stuff up while my buddies were up above dropping it. I do appreciate the time. I appreciate the work that you've done, and I thank you kindly. I still am looking forward to some of the benefits that come out of the growth of this company. So if you can find a smooth patch on the road, please get on it.
Well, we'll keep executing. I want to thank you for your service.
Sir.
You know, that's for sure. And you know, we will keep executing. And you know, my goal and my only goal is to provide a platform for all you long shareholders in Generex to get the fruits of what we're doing. So it's very important to me. It's very important to this team, as evident by not only the first Generex dividend. But now, you know, giving a percentage back in our immuno-oncology company and letting everybody be owners of that when it is public. And we will move quickly to get that company public and to execute on all of its plans, you know, as quickly as possible. It could be 30 days. It could be 60 days. As things materialize, we'll get closer to making that a reality. And I'm sure you'll be there to enjoy it. And, again, I thank you for your service, and thank you very much for the call.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate your work, and thank you for hearing me out.
Yes, thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Steve Frazier. Please go ahead.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
How are you, Steve?
I'm doing fine, sir. Hey, first off, let me just do say thank you to the prior caller for his service. I mean, without his service, you know, we wouldn't have this opportunity to be able to invest in a company like Generex. So I do thank him for his service there. Question for you on the new Generex immuno-oncology dividends that you just did. I know you said in 69 days they're going to go, you know, hopefully be going public possibly through a merger. As far as the current shares, the current holdings that we will have, is there any way, is that going to show up anywhere on a brokerage, or is that just a book entry form that's going to be held at Generex right now until it is a publicly traded entity?
Well, all shareholders that are entitled to the dividend should be getting notices from Broadridge. They will be held in book entry at Broadridge, and shareholders will have an opportunity if they want to get a certificate. They'll be able to get one, or they can leave it in book entry. And as soon as we're able to get New Generex Immuno-Oncology public, you guys will all be public day one. So with us, so.
Well, I guess I was just making sure everybody knows. I was just making sure everyone knows they're not going to see it in their brokerage accounts. Anybody looking to see those shares in their brokerage accounts are not going to actually see them there. It's just a book entry item that they're entitled to right now, and then it'll show up eventually when you go public.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only they'll be entitled to them, they'll be entitled to the public shares right now. They are entitled to the private shares, and those shares, you know, you can request a certificate from Broadridge in the private company.
No, I understand that. I just meant they're not going to see it in their brokerage accounts. I just want people to know that. As far as the public company, the company that you're looking to possibly do a merger with, are they a publicly traded company now, or is it something that you guys would merge with them and go public as a joint entity?
They're a private company. They're deep in a management team. They have some great synergies with our platforms. They have a bunch of platforms that are unique and are in the real hot areas of cancer research and immunotherapy. So we've been in discussions with them for a long time. And we're hopeful that we can consummate a deal with them. If not, New Generex Immuno-Oncology is deep in its own platforms, and we do have our partnerships, and we're looking to add other partnerships and IP. So either way, we will be taking New Generex Immuno-Oncology public in the coming month to a few months, and we're excited about where we're going with it.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to find out if that other company was public or private, so it sounds like they're private right now, which is fine. Who received the NGIO shares? I know it was going to be the existing shareholders that had the 26 million shares that were out there, and the 34 million shares that were being held in pooled money were not getting the dividends. But somewhere along the line, I also heard that maybe the Veneto shares that were given to Veneto to purchase them might also be entitled to the NGIO shares. And was any of the other pooled shares entitled to it, or is it only those shares that were getting the NGIO dividend?
Well, whatever shares that we have, let me back up. So as of today, we have made pledges for stock in varying deals. Let's go back as far as when we acquired HDS, Hemodiagnostics, which is now New Generex Diagnostics.
Right.
We paid 230,000 shares back then to acquire that business. Now, that business was owned by Steve Berkman. Mr. Berkman, he was allotted those shares. He's never picked those shares up yet from the transfer agent. So I don't know of anybody since I've taken over this company as CEO that actually has been physically delivered one share of stock. Now, I pledged stock in deals. Let's go specific to the Veneto partners. Those partners we did a deal with for $15 million at $250 a share that comes out of the pool. That pool is already factored into the market. There are 60 million shares out in total for Generex. So our stock price reflects the whole 60 million today. So they are receiving a little bit more than 6 million shares. I don't have the exact number, but let's call it approximately 6 million shares of stock. They haven't received that yet. They will receive it. But they haven't received it. And yes, because they did the deal prior to the announcement of the dividend, they are entitled for 4-for-1. So 6 million, so break it into a quarter, would be about a million two, I guess, million three that they're entitled
1.5.
to.
1.5, yeah.
Okay, so yes, they are entitled to it. They will receive it.
Okay.
Just like anyone else would. That was pledged shares or was in payment for. But they haven't received those shares, and I don't think anybody's ever received any shares from Generex yet. So the only people who have shares are the people that were Generex shareholders. So those are the only people that are trading the stock right now. There's no
True.
S1
no.
filed. There's no nobody. In the last 2 years that I've been the CEO of the company, no one has the ability to sell anything.
Okay, it's not the ability to sell it. I'm just curious if they're are they getting the shares? So it sounds like Veneto will be entitled to the NGIO shares. What about the deals that have not closed as yet, final stages, that stock like Pantheon and Metasource and Fuse Medical, and all those?
Well, if we haven't consummated the deal and signed the contract, they wouldn't be entitled to it, right?
Right, they wouldn't, but is Generex themselves going to have those shares internally, or are they just not going to be dividend out? So, like in other words, if you were dividending out, if you had 60 million shares,
I'm not, Steve. It's very simple.
Yeah.
If you're not part of that date on the record date, how can I dividend someone's shares? I can't.
Okay. I guess I'm not saying it clearly. So if there's 60 million shares total, okay, if 15 million shares of NGIO would be dividend if it was on the full 60 million, since they're not all out there, is Generex, are they doing the whole 15 million and keeping some of the shares themselves, just for, for future, and add value to us, for the shares of our GMBT that we own, and that'll add value. So is there 15 million shares that were dividended out yesterday? But held, some of them held by you guys?
I don't know. But hold by who? I'm not understanding.
By Generex. Again, if there's 60 million shares.
Let's back up. So all of the shares that New Generex Immuno-Oncology has, Generex owns. All.
Right.
So I'm not going to dividend myself.
That's what I'm asking. So you wouldn't. So there won't be 15 million shares that were dividended yesterday. It's going to be some number less than that, whatever it was, between us and the Veneto.
Steve, Generex owns all of the New Generex Immuno-Oncology shares. So let's call it. Let's just say 100 million shares. Generex owns them all. There's no dividend to Generex. We own all of the shares. We own 100% of the company.
Correct.
Right.
Except for the shares that you just divvied out to shareholders like me.
Yes, which will be less than, I believe it's less than 6%.
So it'll ultimately be less than 6% of the overall NGIO. Okay. All right. Well, awesome. I guess I belittled this. I was belaboring on this question there. I was just trying to get the
If there's 100 million shares, let's call it 100 million shares, 200 million shares, whatever the actual number is, because we still are structuring that. Generex will own all of it. All of those shares will sit on Generex's balance sheet. So if we have a $5 stock price when we go public, all of those shares value will be owned by Generex. So that'll be a huge asset.
I totally understand that. That's whatever capital structure you end up putting together when you finally decide to go public. I meant currently there's 60 million Generex shares outstanding. 60 million is what is out there. So if there's 60 million out there and you did a one for every four, you issued basically 15 million or less than 15 million shares yesterday. Regardless of what they ultimately end up being, you might have more than that later on because you're going to obviously bring in capital partners and whatever else. You're merging into this other company. They're going to get shares because they've got proprietary platforms that we're either buying or again merging into. But then we'll have some value that they're bringing to the table that my 6% of the shares or whatever the companies, the shareholders will have, will get some additional value from their shares. I'm just saying you haven't really come up with a capital structure yet for it to be 100 million or 200 million shares. So as of yesterday for your book entry item, there was really only, say, 15 million shares generated yesterday with the one for four dividend. Am I not being clear on that?
The only ones that will get dividend shares are from the pool that we've out of the 34 approximate million pool shares. The only one that will be receiving any of the dividend since we pledged the pool or sold the pool will be the Veneto deal because we consummated that deal. Contract.
Okay, what you said is about 6 million Generex shares, so that's about a million and a half NGIO dividend yesterday. So with the 26 million out to other shareholders, that's 6.5 million. So yesterday you basically dividended out about 8 million shares of NGIO as a dividend as of yesterday. Forget the 100 million or 200 million or whatever number of shares the capital structure will be when you finally go public. What you dividend yesterday for book entry items is about 8 million shares, give or take.
Okay.
That makes sense. I was just asking. I don't want to put you down to a tight, tight spot there. I was just curious.
I mean, I can get you the exact numbers once we finish everything. and we'll probably post that all once it's all finished. But, you know, we have a ways to go before we know exactly where we're going to end up. I
mean, okay, yeah.
We don't even know for sure if we're acquiring what we're acquiring yet. All we know is we're in deep discussion to acquire.
Okay. No, I understand. Hey, what's going on now with I totally understand your alpha description you did, which was wonderful. I mean, you just laid out, and I never knew any of that story as far as how it got delayed multiple times because of what they did. So you did a great job just explaining that, which answered a lot of questions on alpha. Now, but now we have the new funding going on, $2 million and the $750,000 new funding you just did. I know you have a lot of obligations out there that were milestone payments, like you mentioned, part of these transactions and commitments like Oligen. Don't we owe them $13 million by February 28th, which is in 2 days? I mean, $3 million by February 28th, which is in 2 days? Or, I mean, how do we come up with the cash for those commitments? Or is that going to be in stock? Or is that being renegotiated somehow? Or...
Well, as I just said in the introduction, we paid Oligen about $1.4 million. We paid Regentis a little over $1 million so far. So all the money that we've been taking in have gone to our subs and our obligatory payments as they need money to further their commercialization efforts as well as their clinical efforts. So we will do whatever we have to do to get them the money necessary to move their platforms forward, as we've been doing.
Being lenient is what I'm saying. There's no set time date that they have to have the money in. You're giving it to them as they need it.
We give it to them as we need it, and you know we're working hard to get them the money as they need it so they can make their payments. So, you know, I'm a big believer in whatever you pay for, you get big value out of, right? So everything we've done is big value. Let's just take a look at December 4th. Right, I don't hear this too often, but we took $14 million off the balance sheet of hard debt. So $14 million we retired completely, which we would have had to pay, which is now completely gone. Now, what did that cost us? It cost us a warrant document for 15 million shares of Generex stock at $2.50. Exercisable within 1 year. So that debt was wiped out on the debt holder, and they got to still give me $37 million before they make a dime. But they forgave $14 million. So there are trade-offs in everything you do, right? Now, if I'm commercializing a product, last year there were only 18 FDA-approved drugs that were approved by FDA, approximately. Not many companies get the opportunity to commercialize their own product. That is huge. So you're looking at a $40 billion industry in wounds alone. If we can capture 2%, 3%, the cost of money for me is quite reasonable what we're doing. Quite reasonable.
I understand that. But we're going to need more of it, I guess. So I guess we're going to see a little bit – we're going to probably see a few more deals coming through to help finance things that...
Listen, if I'm buying, let's just call the hospital. If I'm buying a hospital network, 60% of it, and I need $5 million to get that 60%, but I'm going to add over $100 million in revenue with great EBITDA, I would say that is exponentially worth it, $5 million.
Absolutely. I just meant you're going to have to come up with that. I understand.
How would I do that? I have to raise the money,
right?
Or I take the debt, and the debt would not be quite favorable for our uplisting, because that goes against you.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, again, you're doing a great job. I mean, everything that you're coming across and everything, and sometimes we just need to ask a few questions, and I love how you answer them. You don't back away from any question, which is great, and that you're doing these monthly. I don't expect you to continue monthly ones, but you're doing monthly conference calls, which allows us to ask a lot of questions that we are, even though you put them in 8Ks, not all the details are in the 8Ks. With the details are in there, but you know, the description of the better description that you can give and your partners there can give are not in the 8K. So we do appreciate that. And again, Joe, I appreciate you taking the phone call, and I look forward to see what you can do. You know, you keep this going.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I appreciate the call. We love to do the calls. We want to be as communicative as possible. It's exciting times for Generex and New Generex, and you know, for us to be, the more communicative we are, the better our investors and shareholders will understand what we're doing. And we're doing a lot of stuff. We've done a lot of stuff in the last 6 months. The stuff we've done is unheard of. I don't see many companies executing on the level Generex is, and we'll continue to do that. I'm just excited about the next wave of stuff, because each wave takes a long time to get together, and a lot of lawyers, a lot of finance guys, a lot of figuring out, but, you know, we've been doing that, and we will continue on doing that.
Well, keep it going. I appreciate it. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Steve.
And we'll go next to Ken Prill. Please go ahead.
Joe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been a shareholder since the McCluskey era. So I've been on the roller coaster for a long time. And my basic question is, how do you foresee, or when do you foresee getting us listed either on the NASDAQ or on a major market?
Great question. So if it was up to me, it would have been done already. But we had, ways to go. You know, when we first took over the company, as far as the management team goes, we were, deeply in the hole in one major area, which was our shareholder equity. So there are four or five areas of criteria which you need to meet to get a listing. And the last piece is the shareholder equity. So, you know what? I have our controller on the phone, and I'd like to maybe have him answer this, because he's a numbers guy, and I want to be as precise as I can. So, Jay Caldwell, if you would, could you answer this call and kind of give us a summary of where we were when we first took over, as far as, one of the big hurdles, which is the shareholder equity piece, how it relates today, and then how the future things we're doing will get us to that listing as quickly as we hopefully can.
Okay. You can hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. Hi, Joe. My name's Jay Caldwell, and I'm with CFO Squad, and I work as our financial reporting services to sort of coordinate and track, and integrate all the various acquisitions and reporting for the Qs and the Ks. And so one of the elements that we have been looking working on is these listing requirements for an uplift for NASDAQ. Obviously, one of those elements of qualifications is to get to a positive shareholders' equity. And if one looks back at this time last year, January 31st at the end of Q2, shareholders' equity was negative $62 million. As we progressed to the end of the fiscal year at 7/31, we actually worked off about $18 million of that, and it landed at negative about $43 million. That continued to improve through the first quarter, where we worked off also another $18 million of that negative equity, and we landed at negative $25 million. With the restructuring of the complex acquisition of HDS in the beginning of 17, that had incorporated Only we took 51% of that company. But in this last quarter, we exercised their options to take over the remaining 49%. As a result of that exercise of that option, there was a substantial amount of debt on HDS, which was contributed its capital, as well as the issuance of the warrants and the liabilities attached to that. So without going into the all of the minutiae of that, that brought us down. And what we, even though we haven't issued our quarterly, and we're working on our Q2 financial reporting now and the various other filings related to the recent acquisitions, that plus the acquisition and structuring of the Veneto acquisition and Regentis and Allegarin, we're actually should cross and be almost $2 million positive at the end of Q2. I will qualify that because I'm still waiting for final valuations and reviews by auditors and others to make sure that any derivative elements of any debts, any of these acquisitions would not have a negative impact. But looking at our profit loss of these entities of corporate and the removal of debt and certain other derivative liabilities, we should be positive this moment. The threshold that everyone on the uplift listing requirements is to be, you know, have liquidity and be positive, you know, for equity of about $5 million. So right now we might land with almost $2 million positive at the moment. Obviously, there as you go forward, you got to put into an effect certain future losses, but also future acquisitions. So as Pantheon and Metasource is acquired for stock, that will add to our equity base as well and offset any additional losses that we might expect in Q2. Additional acquisitions that are planned would also almost overwhelmingly push us into to exceed the capital requirements for an uplifting and provide the liquidity working capital necessary to meet those other additional listing requirements.
So it sounds to me like there'd be possibly this year then?
Oh, we're hoping within the next few months. I mean, right now.
Oh, great.
It's unbelievable that we were able to wipe out as much shareholder equity that we have in just a year. I mean, up in the $70 million range down to now in the plus category is monumental. I'm quite proud of that. I'm quite proud of this team for doing that. And as we, fulfill the fuse, Metasource and Pantheon acquisition, you know, will be well above the $5 million mark, where then it just comes down to having enough capital on hand for 1 year's operation. So, you know, we're getting there. I think we're real close. And as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better. There's no guarantees, of course. But
I understand.
As you can see, we've made some pretty incredible headway. I mean, that's just unheard of.
Like I said, this roller coaster has been a long time for me here. I've gone from wanting to strangle you to loving you.
Well, again, you know, those two prior management teams aren't here anymore, but the loving part we'll take the loving part, and we'll continue. Yeah. Hopefully, making you love us. So that's our goal. And we're working hard to maintain that.
Well, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Yes. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you.
You betcha.
And we'll go next to Christopher Salvo. Please go ahead.
Hi, Joe. Can you hear me? Are you on there?
Yes, I am.
Hello?
How are you, Chris? How are you, sir?
Hi. Fantastic company. I love your products. And I love all the people you're putting in subsidiaries. Most of my questions have been answered, but one question I'd like to ask is, will there be a combined subsidiary income sheet of all the GBT subsidiaries in a single report eventually?
Well, absolutely. But, Jay, maybe you can add some color to that as well since I have you on. Please, Jay.
Hi. I mean, as we go through the filings of the acquisitions, you'll see some of those combined filings through the 8K pro formas. In the consolidation financial statements for the Qs and the Ks, it's not a requirement to break out each one of those acquisitions and to create a detailed listing of the profit and loss within the actual K. But because of the segmentation of these various operations, we will be reporting those effects. You'll see it within the detail. There won't be a specific schedule that's going to list out in one sort of, oh, I call it a spreadsheet, you know, every one of the multiple entities, but it will be reported as part of, and there will be details and notes to the financial statements that one will be able to see the effects that these entities are making contributions. And through the Qs, through each one of the Qs and through the K, we will have to show the effects of these various entity acquisitions. So you will see some of that detail there, but the top sheet sort of profit, loss, and balance sheet doesn't necessarily show each entity in as they contribute into the consolidated numbers. But there will be supporting tables that will show those effects further into the notes of the financial statements. So I think you'll be able to see these effects within the reporting, and then any additional information, you know, can also, you know, be requested. So.
Thanks. Okay, great. So the stock price will be reflected as the income is revealed, correct?
Well, certainly do hope so. I mean, we haven't really reflected or realized any of the value on the new acquisitions yet, as well as all the new endeavors that we're involved in. But as quarters go by, you know, that'll come all together. And Jay, maybe you want to add something to that.
Yeah, because in the recent acquisition of Allegarin and Regentis, those were done in the middle of January. So our Q2, which ended January 31st, literally only has a few weeks of those revenues that gets to be reported and added to Generix's overall. So as you get into subsequent quarters, and also with Veneto in their subsequent revenues, we'll, you know, add those revenues as we go forward. The future acquisitions, obviously, you know, haven't taken place, but those additional acquisitions that are being contemplated will obviously add revenues. But you'll see through 8K performers, you will see through other schedules the effects of what would have happened if Generix had acquired this at the beginning of their prior year, to see what those combined revenue amounts and profit and loss would have occurred and their balance sheets, so that one can get a clearer picture, and hopefully that will also, you know, translate into the market price and the stock.
Fantastic. Joe, thank you very much, and thank you also. You're a fantastic company, and like everything you've done, it's just continue carrying on. That's what the Undertaker said, you know. Carry on.
Yeah.
Thank you a lot.
Yeah, well, we have a long way to go, but I really appreciate the call, and look forward to doing many, many, many more.
Okay. Thank you very much. Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to William Thomas. Please go ahead.
Hey, Joe, how you doing? I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. Listen, Joe, I just want to say thank you. You guys are doing a great job. You know, it sounds like you're putting together a complete universe of products, you know, for services for what you your companies there. And I got a feeling, I tell you, I think this is going to be a really good year for us, and I just look forward to it. And again, Joe, I want to really just thank all of you guys. Sounds like you really are dedicated to this, and you know, all the questions I had, they've been answered. Again, Joe, I just want to say thanks, and you know, I look forward to sticking with you guys for a long time.
Well, I really appreciate that. And as I stated, this management team is investor-centric. We care about you folks, and for sure we're going to do right by our shareholders. That's all we've cared about since we've taken over the company, and we'll continue to do so, and we'll continue to build value, and hopefully you know, all of our shareholders will benefit, and that's the most important thing to me and this team.
Sounds great. Thanks, Joe. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
And we'll go next to Joe Koenig. Please go ahead.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. How are you, Joe?
I'm good. Good. Thank you as well, Joe. I'm a longtime significant stockholder, so I do appreciate all your efforts and your team's sacrifices that you've made to make this happen. So thank you very much. I want you to look at a company called Conceivex, C-O-N-C-E-I-V-E-X, as a potential acquisition target. I think it would be perfect for you. And then secondly, Joe, if you need contact information on that, I can get it. It's on the Internet. But yes. Also, can you give an update on Orlin? Has there been any advances in that? Thank you.
Well, Orlin, you know, there hasn't really been any advances on Orlin as of yet, though we've had several companies and research institutions call us in regard to doing maybe some kind of partnership with. Right now, the key, as I stated in the last conference call, and I believe even the one before that, our goal is to build the value first in Generex by the acquisitions we've been making, and then to later get back to the Orlin platform. Because we do believe it will work. We will get approval, but you got to pay for that. And for us to go out and raise, you know, $10, $12 million right now for that program that will take a few years to get through completion, we felt it was best to build the value with new stuff first and then get back to that program. You know, it's one of Generex's significant assets. We will get back to it. I believe that Dr. Andy Anderson, who now runs that program for us, has made substantial headway in formulation as well as significance in its utility of the product. And we are looking forward to getting back to that platform just as soon as we complete our acquisitions. And we can fund that ourselves rather than, you know, go out and raise, you know, a lot of money for something that, you know, Generex has had for a long time. So we will definitely get back to it. It's just right now it's not one of our main focuses until the acquisitions are completed.
I appreciate it, Joe. I attended one of your stockholder meetings, and you weren't there, in Toronto back in the old days, and I met and talked to Dr. Anderson. He's an impressive man. So I know that program has potential. So thank you.
Yep. I'm very high on it. I've always believed that, you know, Orlin should have been for type 2s, not type 1s. I do believe that Dr. Anderson has reformulated, you know, Orlin beautifully, where now for utility it works, and it works for cost. You know, going from 7 to 10 puffs down to 1 to 2 is extremely important for the vitality of this product. And we're excited to get back into the clinic as soon as we can to bring this to a reality, and we believe we will.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Steve Mason. Please go ahead.
Hello, Steve.
Steve, your line is open if you wouldn't mind checking your mute function for us.
Hey, Joe. Sorry about that.
That's
I wanted to first thank you for taking the call and your investor focus. Also wanted to thank you for the end user focus that you guys are taking on. Hopefully that'll pay off in the long term in a big way. Obviously our healthcare system isn't really set up for that, so anything you guys can do to make it better, especially for the veterans and that sort of thing, is much appreciated. Most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to confirm, maybe Jay can answer, when will the Q2 financials come out? And could you clarify how much Veneto is in Q2? Is that in for the whole quarter or just a partial quarter or not at all?
So this is Jay. So Veneto will be in for a full quarter. They were acquired in October and in two pieces at the beginning of October and as of November 1st. So we effectively will have a full quarter of their financials and operations in the January 31st Q2. And right now we are first completing and will be filing shortly the 8K pro formas related to the Regentis acquisition and the Allegarin acquisition, and then immediately thereafter then the Q2 will be filed, and we're hoping that will be filed by the 15th, but we want to get the first two 8K pro formas out as quickly as possible here, and we're finishing that up right now as we speak.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jay. And thanks, Joe, so much for all your efforts. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate the call and the questions. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Ray Barbosa. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Ray Barbosa. I have two questions. One, are you in litigation on that debt? The demand, or is it just a demand right now?
As of right now, it's just a demand. If we were hit with any kind of legal documents, then we would respond, and that response would be 8Ks.
Okay, and my second question is, you're doing a lot of acquisitions. That requires a lot of manpower restructuring, and do you have the manpower to continue to do these acquisitions? How is that being done?
Okay, well, you know, as I've stated, even when we first took over the company, we announced, you know, our acquisitional strategy as part of the overall plan. You know, the biggest part of what we do in our model is we have no interest in acquiring companies where we have to, you know, create the wheel. So what we're acquiring first are great management teams or great operators or great management teams with great science that can get through the clinic, or great management teams that are commercializing that, you know, now will start sales. So, you know, I have no interest. If a company comes to me, and we haven't, we've seen hundreds of companies since we've taken the reins of Generex, and I typically we have no interest in, you know, acquiring a company where the owner is looking for an exit and they want to go off in the sunset. We have to figure out, you know, how their secret sauce, you know, how they got there. So typically, let's just look at, say, you know, Ola Region. Ola Region has a great management team. They're knee-deep in commercialization folks, marketing folks, that are bar none that can get through commercialization and start sales, and then revenues will be evident. So, again, for us to go in, you know, replace management teams, put in new staff, it's not really what we want to do, and it's not really our model, though we've been doing it on a few areas as of recent. But the only place that we typically have bottlenecks is the legal work. We have many, many law firms that work for Generex now. We have, you know, three. We have two in-house counsels now. We have, you know, our outside counsel, who we've always used, who does a great job for us, Eckert Siemens. So, you know, that's typically where our biggest bottleneck is the legal piece. It's takes a lot to get acquisitions done. The documents are mountainous and very comprehensive. So if I had my wish, I'd have 10 more lawyers working for the company. Other than that, you know, all of the acquisitions have great management teams. All of the proposed potential acquisitions have great management teams and great staffs. So it's really not a problem whatsoever.
And there are no further questions. So at this time, I'll return the floor back to you, Mr. Machado.
Oh, well, I'd just like to thank everybody for their time today and logging on to the conference call. I'd like to thank my team. I'd like to thank our board. All I can say is that we're excited about the future. We look to do another conference call soon as we execute further and get to more developments that are worthy of having another call. We believe, you know, we're on the right path and that our shareholders are the most important thing to us. So, you know, we look forward to continuing on executing, building value, and a call hopefully next month. So thank you all for your time, and we look forward to the next conference call, which will mean that we executed further and that we've built more value. So thank you.
This will conclude today's program. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a wonderful day.